Change that though. You've had that.
Okay, today, this is Brother Placid Gross, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection for North Dakota State University Libraries at Fargo, North Dakota. It is a pleasure to visit with Reuben Dammel in rural Medina, North Dakota. And today is September 20th in the year 2000. Okay, what is your name and when were you born?
Reuben Dammel, April the 18th,
1917. And where was your father born?
Teplitz, I think it's South Russia.
Yeah, I guess Teplitz, Bessarabia, South Russia. Okay, right offhand, you don't know when he was born. We're going to look that up and put that on the paper.
Yeah.
And where is your dad buried?
In Medina Cemetery.
And your mother's maiden name?
Miss Catherine Meidinger.
And she's also buried at Medina.
Yeah.
Did your dad's parents come over to this country? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
How old was your dad when he came over here?
16 years.
Oh, so all did all of his brothers and sisters come over here too? They must have.
Well, I don't even know if they were all born. Yeah, but I know his brother, that had been my Uncle Israel, he was four or five years old when they came here.
What was the name?
Israel.
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 Oh. And your mother was how old when she came over here?
She was 5 years old, she told me.
So your mother was five, so her parents came over here too.
Yeah.
Where are her parents buried? Do you know where they lived? Or?
Well, they would be buried in Eureka, in a cemetery in Eureka.
Eureka.
South Dakota.
Uh-huh. How many children did your parents have?
Eight.
Can you give the names of your brother and sister, starting from the oldest ones?
Well, the oldest one was Emma. Then there was a set of twins, Erna and Theophilus. And then there was Bertha, Pauline, Martha, then Reuben. And Gerhard.
Did your mother remember anything from the old country?
Not very much. I don't think
not
she never talked about it.
Because she was only 5 years old.
She was only five, so they didn't get to.
How about your dad? Did your dad talk about it all about the old country?
Yeah, he knew a lot about it because he said his dad had a, now that would have been my grandpa, had a blacksmith shop. He made wagons.
Oh, really?
And then he said he had to pull the air hammer with the big handle to heat the iron, you know. And then he talked, they farmed too. They went out from the village. They drove out and farmed. I don't know how many, it couldn't have been very many acres. And then he talked about when they harvested, with the sigh, and they loaded it up and brought it into the village, and they had a, they called a flat place where they put that grain down, and then they had the horses chop it out for thrashing it. And then they had to let it, raise it up and let it through the, so the wind would blow the chaff out. And, but he never said how clean it got. I mean, it.
They took the fork and threw it into the air, huh?
Yeah. Well, shovels, I suppose, because it's fine, all fine stuff. Uh-huh. And, well, I imagine it was a pretty slow process.
Yeah. Did they grow grapes? Did they make wine?
Yeah, my dad's uncle was living just like the next door, and he had a vineyard, and he had a wine cellar, big barrels, and he hired a lot of these widows from the village to cut the grapes, you know, and bring them in. And then how they made the wine, I don't know, but I think they had some to crush the grapes, you know. And then they put that juice, I suppose, that all had to be put into the barrels, mm-hmm. And I just faintly remember what he, when he talked about it.
Do you know anything in German? Do you know any poems or prayers or stories or anything?
No,
I've worked on him.
I'm not very good at that.
Did your dad ever wish that he was back in Russia?
Yeah, he talked about it. He says in Russia it was better because you got done with your work.
And it didn't have the big rock.
Yeah, he always...
had grapes.
They picked grapes instead of rocks.
Oh, really? Easier to pick grapes.
And they drank a lot of wine. Mm-hmm. His uncle, he said he never drank a bit of water. Always had the wine jug and the glass. And he carried that red with him, you know. Yeah. And he never did any work. And he was rich.
Oh.
He got the help for little or nothing, you know. And the widows, they were glad to get a few pennies, and that's how he got his grapes cut and the wine made.
Did you have relatives that stayed in Russia? Did your dad or your grandparents have any brothers or sisters, or do you know of any relatives that they talked
about? Well, that uncle, his uncle stayed. Was in Russia.
His uncle said, do you know what happened to him, or did he get...
I don't know, but they said he died, and there was a lot of money, but they could never get any, would have inherited it, but being Russia had such a strict ruling, they didn't let any of that money come over here, so it just stayed there.
Oh yeah. That was your grandpa's brother, be your dad's uncle, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's uncle.
That was my dad's uncle.
But did he have children? Did that man have children?
No, they didn't have no children.
Oh, they didn't have any children, so the money should have come over here.
It would have come over here, but... they didn't. None of them knew how to go about it to get it.
Uh-huh. And when, let's see, when you were growing up, you spoke German all the time, right?
Right.
And then when did you learn to talk English?
When we went to school. Then we didn't dare talk German anymore. But at home we had to talk German. We didn't dare talk English.
So in German, at home you had to talk German, school. You had to talk English.
Yeah.
I know. What kind of schooling did you have? Did you have good teachers? Were they mean?
One of them was particularly mean. It was a man teacher, and that was his first experience of teaching school, and he was so mean. I just dreaded to go to school because he picked on me all the time.
Really?
And I didn't think I was a bad boy, but it was just the idea that he liked to pick on somebody, and he picked me as a...
Did you, if you talked German, did you get punished in school?
Right. If they caught us talking German in school, then we had to take our seats and stay after school.
Oh, did you have to write? I will not talk German anymore, or something like that.
Not really that we had to write that much, but we got punished by staying after school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes half an hour.
Did you have to walk to school?
Oh yes, all the time. We walked. It was a mile to school.
A mile, oh, that's not too bad.
No.
How many years did you go to school?
Well, till that must have been 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Because first, second, till the eighth grade, and then I passed the eighth grade, then I had to stay home and work.
Stay home and work, yeah. Do you know how much you went in 1 year? Was it 9 months or 7 months? Or?
To begin with, it was 7 months. And then later on, they changed it to 8 months. But that was it. They didn't go any higher than 8 months.
Uh-huh. Did you have a picnic at the end of the year?
Yeah, we always had some kind of a party. It wasn't anything big, but sometimes we roasted marshmallows and had other stuff to eat.
What kind of playground equipment did you have?
Well, I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but we didn't have anything. We just had the bare prairie.
Did you even have a ball? Did you even have a ball and a bat?
Well, no, we never had a ball or a bat. We had to come up with hide and go seek or playing sticks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We had to make our own recreation.
Where did the teachers come from? Were the teachers English or German? Could they talk German? Or where did the teachers come from?
They mostly came from Jamestown. Jamestown was about, I imagine they graduated in Jamestown, and there was Not very many of them that I can remember that would, they weren't really German. They were mostly English people.
So they couldn't understand, they did not understand the German.
Well, no, they, some of them, well, they didn't admit it if they did. But we had some good, I had some real nice, good teachers from that came from Jamestown.
Oh, How did you celebrate? How did you celebrate Christmas when you were small?
Well, we had programs in school, Christmas program, and then we had church programs.
Church program. Did you have a like Christmas program at school, then your parents were invited?
They were usually invited, but not all of my dad never came because he was, I don't know why, but.
He thought it wasn't not important.
No.
Did you get any gifts at home at Christmas? Did you have any money? Did they have any money to buy you any gifts?
No. Well, they didn't splurge too much. I mean, they...
I'm sure not.
I mean, you got a little bit something.
Did you have a Christmas tree?
No, that's one thing we never had. We never had a Christmas tree. We had it in school, we had it in church, but not at home.
Well,
never had a Christmas tree.
Okay. I'm sure you did not get a lot of gifts either.
No, we didn't get to town to buy, and we wouldn't have had the money anyway to buy a lot of gifts.
How did you celebrate Easter? Did you have to make Easter eggs?
No, that's usually what happened. I mean, they always colored eggs, you know, for Easter.
Did your mother hide the Easter eggs? I had to go look for the Easter eggs. Or?
Right, they always made Easter baskets. We had to make the basket, and then when we were sleeping, then they'd put some stuff in the basket.
Oh.
And then we'd have to find it, you know.
Okay. Okay,
Do you remember when there were gypsies, when the gypsies came around?
Well, right. They'd come to town, but they never came out here to the farm. We were too far off the main road for the gypsies. They'd stay more or less to the better roads, you know. But I did see them when we hauled grain to town. Then there was gypsies parked on the street, you know.
Oh,
you
yeah?
could tell they were gypsies.
How did they travel? Did they have cars?
They had big cars.
They had cars already?
Yeah, they had good cars. And some farmers complained that they'd come to their yards and then they had to watch them because they'd take stuff, you know. But we were fortunate, we were off the main road, so they never came here.
In the 30s, did you get relief Did they bring any relief, like food?
Not for us. We were fortunate. My dad had all his stuff paid for, didn't have on the land and everything, and we milked cows and had chickens and pigs, and we and another family in the township were the only ones that didn't get it. The rest of them all got the food and relief.
Oh, so if you had it and if you worked hard, had some money, then you did not get it.
No, that's right. And we're conservative, you know. See, that's.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Let's talk about how you made the manure blocks. You picked up cow chips for burning, huh?
Oh, we had to do that quite a bit. Take a basket or a sack and go out and pick dry cow chips and bring them home. And they used that for the day when they ironed, you know, and then they'd have that stove going, and then they used them cow chips, you know, to make the stove hot and the irons hot. And
how about the manure blocks? You made manure blocks too, huh?
Yeah, we made.
How did you do that? How did you spread the manure, or what did you do?
We always had a cow, a little fence, what they call a corral type, and that's where the cows were in, you know, and they had to stay in there overnight, and that's how that manure accumulated, you know, and then that got real hard, and then they take a spade and make square blocks and get it so that you could handle it, you know. They were about 12 inches square, them blocks.
And how thick?
They could have been about 5 inches thick.
5 inches thick. Did you, if the cows were in there all the time, as overnight, didn't the cows get too dirty? Wasn't it too wet for the cows? Or?
It didn't seem like it. During the day it dried, you know, that was dry, you know.
Oh.
And the cows weren't really, it was pretty good sized corral, you know, where they had room, and all I had to do was help when we put that manure on a stack with a round top on there. I mean, it had to be stacked. So it was around like a haystack, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to carry it over there, and then the older ones, they stacked it. And
how high did that stack get? As high as a person? Or,
well,
or did you stand on the chair to get it up there?
No, I think they made it about, you know, about 5.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And then could have been about wide, I don't know, it was probably about 5 foot wide and long. The stack would be about, that could have been about 12 feet long, you know. And that was really the start of this use for burning for substitute for coal.
Mm-hmm. And the manure had to be dried real good before you stacked it, huh?
Well, it was first. It was put in squares. I mean, like shocks, you know. And then it was really hard, you know, and dry. And then it was stacked. But I didn't do it anymore. Then the coal came in, you know, and then the trucks, they brought the coal, and coal was cheap.
Uh-huh.
You'd get coal for $3.50-$4 a ton, you know, and that thing sometimes as high as 8 ton on a big truck.
Do you remember when you had no coal, when you did not have any coal at all? Do you remember that?
No, that I don't remember. I don't know how they...
You always had some coal. I mean, you had some manure, but you always had to...
They might have had some coal, you know, but the manure was the substitute for to make the coal go further, you know.
Oh, okay. When you were growing up, what work did you not like to do? What, I suppose, when you were a teenager or a young teenager, what work did you not like to do?
Well, I didn't like to cut grain with a header.
Oh.
That was hard work. I did a lot of that.
That was hard work.
Oh, God. And then pick rocks. That was another thing I didn't like. But we had to do it.
Mm-hmm. You did it because you...
You had to do it.
You had to do it.
Yeah.
Did you header with, like, two header boxes? Two boxes? Or?
When my sister and brothers were home, they had two boxes, and they headered with two boxes. And later on, then, I was like the only one at home. So I had to drive the header box and also stack the header box. I had to wrap the lines around the post and let the horses walk, then quick stack the box, and then when I got to the end, I had to turn the horses around, you know, take the lines off at the post, and then do the same thing going down straight, you know, then you had to, and then when the box is full, you had to drive over to the stack and pitch that box, that full box of grain onto the stack, and that was hard work.
Especially sometimes if it was green, if it was a little bit green.
It was heavy, you know, the stuff was heavy and it was hard to pitch, you know, but I don't know, person always managed to do it.
Do you know how big those header stacks were, about, approximately how the size?
I would say they were about 8 by 8 feet wide, and they could have been about 16 feet long.
16 feet long.
And as far as high, you had to pitch it as high as you could pitch it up, you know, and get it up there. Then they closed the stack up, you know.
Yeah, made it round on top.
Yeah.
I tried to make it round. Did you, uh, Do you remember any accidents that happened with the horses?
Well, we were fortunate. Our horses were not spooky. They were so used to so much. They were used to all the time, so they didn't get spooky, you know, and they didn't run away. And we didn't really have any. Well, my brother, he had, when he was farming, he had runaways all the time, but he was kind of careless. And at one time he had 5 horses run away with the game plow, tear fences down, and
with the plow. But the plow was not in the ground, was it?
I think that kind of jumped out because the horses, they went as fast as they could go. And then they went up to the yard, and then they got up to a post, and then they couldn't, that stopped them, you know, they couldn't go any further. Mm. But
then they stand there shivering or shaking.
Yeah, he was rather careless. I mean,
and he fell off. I mean, he was off the plow, right?
He wasn't. Well, he was going to kill a gopher with the whip, you know. And when them horses heard that whip crack, and then they took off, and then he couldn't catch them anymore.
Oh.
That was, see, that's why I say he was careless, you know.
So what work did you like to do?
Well, there were, I kind of liked to pick corn in the fall. That was kind of a job. I'd always kind of, fall was nice weather, like now, you know. And we'd go out there with the wagon, box, and team, and pick corn, you know. We used to have about 15 acres of picking corn, you know. And but I had to cultivate corn a lot. That was kind of a chore. I was only about 9-10 years old when I had to cultivate corn all the time.
With the horses?
Yeah.
Two
horses and two, a one row.
And a one row cultivator.
Then when you were through it, then you had to start all over in front again, you know.
Start all over again, yeah. What did you do with the corn when you picked it?
Well, we had a corn, they call it corn crib, you know. And we had to shovel it in there, and that would hold about, say, just about 800 bushels, you know. And we shoveled it in there, and then it was used for hog feed, you know.
So you always had some pigs?
Yeah, we always had pigs, and they always got to be fed up to about 210 pounds. That was the average that they wanted.
Uh-huh.
And then they sold, you know.
Did you take the husks off of the corn right away?
Oh, yes, out in the field.
On the field already, you took the husk off.
Yeah, that was clean. Then you could take a shovel and shovel it into the corn crib, you know.
Oh, yeah. Did you then, in the when the cow, the cobs, did you use the cobs for burning in the house, too?
Oh, yes, a lot of it, when it was dry. And then a lot of times when it was dry, we had to pick them up and put them in a shed someplace so they would stay dry. And It was really good fuel, them corn crops. But it didn't last long. It was...
It would... Easy to make fire, but the fire would go out.
Right.
So I'm gonna say, do you, when you plowed with the horses, how many hours a day could you keep the horses going?
Well, it was usually from 7 in the morning till 12 at noon, and then we had 2-hour feeding for the horses. Then we'd go out and we'd plow until just before dark, and then we'd go home. It would be about 11 hours, I think, 11, 12 hours.
Gee, that's a lot of hours.
It was a lot of hours. And you had to put in hours because you didn't accomplish much, like with tractors.
Did you, you did not walk behind the plow, did you? Did you?
No, we had a grain plow and a, what they call a one-bar sulky plow. We plowed, usually plowed with the grain plow and with the sulky. They call it a sulky. And that was, so we had three bottoms, you know, plowing.
Well, the sulky, that was always the one bottom.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. About the harrow. Did you harrow the fields or not?
Oh, yes. I walked behind that harrow a lot. We had 5-section harrow and then 4 horses on there. And then you couldn't use the cart. And then when we had enough horses, then we'd have 6 horses on that drag, and then we could use the cart.
Oh, then you rode on the cart.
Then we could ride on that little cart. I still got the cart.
Oh. 6. Otherwise you had 5 horses?
4.
4 horses on the 5-section harrow. And how wide is the harrow? Is that...
Well...
Each.
I think it was about...
Is it 20 feet?
It was about 27 feet, I think. 26. It's 5 sections.
5 sections and 4 horses? 4 horses. And if you had a cart, then you needed another horse.
Then you needed 6 horses.
6 horses.
Then you could use the cart.
Was the cart that hard to pull?
Not really, but the way that drag was set up, you know, you had each side, you had 2 horses here and 2 horses here, and you couldn't, there was no evener that you could put 5 horses on.
Oh.
So you had 3 horses and then 3 horses.
Oh, I see.
That's the way that worked.
Oh, either 2 or 3 on one side.
Yeah.
Not. You had the same number on one side as on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, this one guy told me one time you could rig it up with 5 horses too, if you had the right kind of eveners. But we didn't have.
And then how did you pick rocks? Did you use the wagon?
Use the wagon and loaded them up, pick them up in the field and put them on the wagon, and then we'd drive up to the, when the wagon was full, then we had to drive over to the rock pile and unload them one by one.
Oh.
That was...
Unload them one by one.
Yeah. Gee,
And what about the big ones that you couldn't lift? Sometimes you lift it too much, huh? Good.
Well, you'd have to have a piece of plank, and then you'd roll it up on the plank.
Oh.
Kind of slanted, you know. Then you'd roll it up there. That was the only way you could get them up there.
Uh-huh.
Then if you'd have a lot of big ones, then you'd have to take the stone boat, the skid, and roll them on there and then take them over to the rock pile. I know we used to do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
When the rocks were so big, then you couldn't lift them onto the wagon. And you'd take it, the skid, and take two horses, and then you could, when you had that many on, then you had to go to the rock pile.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any, do you remember that Brauche, when if somebody was sick?
I heard him talk about it a lot, but we never had anything that we had to do. And I don't know, I was just never thinking of, never believed in it really.
I think the Catholics did that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me it just seemed like it was this kind of a rigmarole that you could get by without.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people did that.
Well, did you have home remedies? Did your mother have her own, any home?
It was usually camphor salve and
how about goose fat? Did you use goose fat for something?
Not that I can remember too much.
Oh.
That it was never used that goose fat. I don't know why not, but.
But you raised geese?
Oh, yeah. We raised geese, and then every so often you had to drive me into the barn, and then they'd pick them, you know. Pick the feathers, you know.
Yeah, pick the feathers from the live.
From the live geese. Now, I still can't understand. I was pretty young yet then, and they'd pick them feathers and put them in a flour sack, you know, and make pillows out of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then what we didn't use, it was tied up and hung up high in the granary, you know, so that nothing could get at it, you know. And there were some in that granary for a long, long time. I don't know what happened to them, but it was really something.
I guess I was going to ask, do you remember using the corn husks for mattresses or pillows?
I even slept on one of them.
Did you?
Yeah, but that was hard. I mean, they weren't, wasn't soft.
Oh, was it lumpy?
Not so lumpy, but it's just more or less like the table, you know. It didn't sponge. I know we had one bed. And then I had a guy when I was batching. And I had a guy staying here. I didn't want to sleep with him, you know. So he slept in the bed. We had I don't know what they called it, a bed. You could make a bed out of it, but it had no spring in it, and then corn husks in there for a mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I slept. I had blankets, you know, just because I didn't like to sleep with the guy.
Sure. Did you have any ghost stories or superstitions?
Quite a few.
Did you?
That when we bought that land down south, then they always said that there were ghosts down there. They said they set their shoes down, and in the mornings the shoes were moved, you know. And they said they'd come along with a team of horses driving. Then there was somebody else in front, all white, you know. And they claimed it was ghosts, but when we bought that land, I was down there a lot, you know, at nights and stuff. I never saw one. But that was just imagination, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where it ever originated.
Yeah, tell me again about the shoes.
Yeah, they set their shoes down in the evening where they took them off.
Uh-huh.
And in the mornings they would be moved to a different place.
The shoes would be moved, okay.
Yeah.
Our tape is getting full, so we're going to end this side of the tape. So thank you, Reuben. My pleasure visiting with you about this old time stuff. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I know a lot of things about old times, about thrashing and everything, but that's way too much, you know.
If we'd have time, we'd continue another time, fill up the other side of the tape.